Good morning, sir. If you could just hold on, the Honorable Mr. Wheeler will serve as your conductor. We'll conduct you here this morning, sir. So just hold on to the phone.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. You can hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, can you please state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Jose Maria Estrada, DOC number is 224752.
Thank you, sir. You're playing for the Honorable Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. All the way to my far right is the Honorable Michael Johnson, to his left, the Honorable Bill Rittenhouse. To her left is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. To my left is the Honorable Lee Fanonis. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead this morning, or conductor.
Okay.
Also, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the parole office today. Plus, we have three family members or friends in the audience, two of which are going to speak on your behalf in a few minutes. So, at the part of this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I am representing myself today, sir.
Okay, I am going to swear you, Mr. Westby.
Let's see if I get the names right again.
And there are two, Ms. Palafox?
Palafox.
Yes, Arcelli and Maradia. Okay, so all four of you, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that so help you out, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Did you? I don't think I heard you, sir. Jose, did you say I do?
I do.
Okay. I wouldn't turn it over whether you have. Okay. So you're hearing the conduct in two phases this morning, sir. In phase number one, you will determine if the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the two allegations that are on your warrant, sir. After each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false, or if you want to plead the fifth. And the reason for pleading the fifth is there was a police report number listed on the warrant, which means there could be acting charges out there. This hearing is recorded, and it's basically public information, so anything recorded here could be used against you in a proceeding. So since we don't know what the outcome of that reporting is this time, we give you the opportunity to plead the fifth, so you won't incriminate yourself if there's something going on, okay?
Correct.
All right, so allegation number one, violation of regular conditional supervision number five, that is demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaulting behavior on or about October 1st, 2016, at 2650 North Oracle Road, part number 330-2008-5705. Is that true, false, or do you wish to plead the fifth, sir?
I wish to plead the fifth.
Okay. Allegation number two is violation of Arizona conditional supervision number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence from 4.9 North Grand Avenue, part number 22, Tucson, Arizona, 85713, on or about October 3rd, 2016, without prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, and thus you were absconded from supervision. Is that true, false, or do you wish to plead the fifth, sir?
That's false.
It's false. Okay. Hold on one moment here. Okay, since you put the fifth on allegation number one, we will not discuss it. Allegation number two, you said false, so Mr. Westby, can you read that out for us?
Yes, on October 3rd, 2016, defendant's girlfriend, Georgina Encinas, came into the Tucson Hill office.
They truly have, that violation wanting to put the fifth on it.
Yeah, but he still has to read it. He has to give testimony for the record.
Oh, okay.
We can't discuss it. We can't discuss it, but he must put it in the record.
On October 3rd, 2016, defendant's girlfriend, Georgina Encinas, came to the Tucson Parole Office to speak with this officer, that being Stephen Haig. She stated that on October 1st, 2016, that she and the offender were arguing, and he hit her in the face multiple times. He left her apartment prior to the arrival of police, so he was not arrested. A request for information was sent to Tucson Police Department based on the information received from Ms. Encinas. Her Tucson Police Department officer, Pena, badge number 52901, on October 1st, 2016, in approximately 23:54 hours, he arrived at 2650 North Oracle Road, apartment number 330, Tucson, Arizona, 85705. He spoke with Georgina Encinas, who stated she and her boyfriend of 4 years, offender Jose Estrada, were arguing, and he threw a rock into the wall inside her apartment, damaging the drywall. He also punched a hole in the wall inside a closet and two more holes in the wall of a bedroom. As they continued to argue, the offender hit Georgina several times in the face with a closed fist. The offender left the apartment with his sister, who arrived to pick him up prior to Officer Pena's arrival. Officer Pena observed large bruising on the right side of Georgina's face and dried blood on her face and clothing. Based on her visible injuries and the damage to her apartment, a stop and arrest was issued for the offender for disorderly conduct domestic violence, criminal damage domestic violence, and assault domestic violence.
Thank you, sir. So, will we go on with allegation two at this time, please?
Allegation number two. On October 6, 2016, the offender failed to report for his previously scheduled report date. On October 11, 2016, this officer, Anne Stephen Wade, spoke with the offender's sponsor slash sister, Ms. Carmen Montoya, who stated the offender was no longer residing as approved at her residence at 429 North Grand Avenue, apartment number 22, Tucson, Arizona, 85713. She stated the offender moved out of her apartment around October 3rd, 2016. She did not know where he was staying. The offender failed to obtain approval from his officer prior to changing his residence. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is in absconding from supervision. On October 11, 2016, this officer, being Stephen Wade, spoke with Georgina Encinas, the emergency contact listed in Ames. She stated that she had not spoken with the offender since they argued on October 1, 2016, and she did not know his whereabouts. On October 11, 2016, Officer Stephen Wade verified that the offender was not incarcerated at the Pima County Jail. On October 11th, it's also verified that the offender was not hospitalized in either St. Mary's or St. Joseph's hospitals.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Estrada, what's false about allegation two?
False is that I never did none of these allegations that she said. I said that I did. I didn't want to be with her anymore, and I had found someone else, and she got upset. The fact that she goes and says all these allegations was because I didn't want to be with her. I had found somebody that I was happy with, and she wanted me to go and move on with her and do everything for her. And
okay, sir.
It was
sir,
right just sir? To go and do everything sir? She wanted me to do.
Sir.
Excuse me?
Okay,
yeah.
So we're going to move on to phase two. We'll have ample time to explain what went on and why you left there. Okay?
Okay.
Based on, for allegation number one and allegation number two, the information supplied by Department of Corrections and warrant number 2016W3416, I'm going to find that Mr. Estrada is delinquent out of the violated term condition of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in a criminal ways or affirmative.
Second.
Agree.
Agree. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Camillus, and agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Newhouse. Okay, so we're going to move into phase two in a moment, but before we do that, Mr. Westby is going to give us some background information, so stay on the phone, and I'll get back with you in a couple minutes, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Westby.
On August 15th, 2016, Mr. Estrada was released from Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested on May 9th, 2018 by Tucson Regional Parole Office staff on parole violations. He was back in DOC custody on May 9th, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of September 19th, 2018, which reflects 583 abscond days. Current convictions, 2015, dangerous drug violations, 6 months. 2015, drug paraphernalia, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2007, narcotic drug violation, 4 years. 2007, burglary, second degree, 2.5 years. 2012, aggravated assault, 1 year, 9 months. 2013, theft of means of transportation, 3.5 years. This is his third term in DOC. CUIR scored 3.3, mental health scored 3, substance abuse scored 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2009, TIS completion, 9 months. 2013, TIS release, arrested on current offense, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are moderate. Under arrest, 1998, threatening and intimidating, Arizona, juvenile probation. 1999, shoplifting, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2000, misconduct involving weapons, juvenile probation. 2002, theft of means of transportation, juvenile detention. 2003, burglary, third degree, juvenile detention. 2011, aggravated assault, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G7VA. He is not registered or not fileable, however, this offender is SVP reviewable.
Thanks, sir. Okay, so Mr. Estrada, we go over summary of your case supervision. So it shows that the information we have is that you were approved for placement at 429 North Grande Street, 722 in Tucson, Arizona. And that's the only address that you ever reported to or were approved to live. So when you left that apartment, okay, you were living with the young lady that accused you of having a problem. But anyway, you were living where you decided you didn't want to be with her anymore and you left, correct?
Correct.
Okay. When you left that address, did you tell the PO you were leaving? Did you get an approved address to move to?
No, sir, I did not tell my parole officer anything. I never moved from the 429 North Grande. That was the address I was approved to, and they want, my ex-girlfriend wanted me to move to the address to 2650 North Borough Road. She wanted me to move there without the approval of my parole officer. So I never moved from the 429 address where I had resided to from parole.
Okay, so you say you didn't move from there? So your sister lied to the PO when she said you wouldn't have left and weren't living there?
No, my sister never lied. I just left. I never told my sister anything. I just took off.
You just said you
responded.
You just made a statement. You said that you had never left. But now you just said you left and didn't tell anybody. So you lived in the apartment and you were not residing in that apartment anymore when the PO tried to find you, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so, all right, you can move on from that one now. Did you have any employment? You were out for a very, very, very long time.
Yes, sir, I did have an employment. I did work. I worked for a call center, mobile call wash and detail.
And you worked the whole time?
The whole time I worked, and I worked obviously under the table for him. He paid me cash. He did not know my situation, and he was paying me daily.
Okay, you have any work?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You were assigned a task, a couple of peach. You only submitted 2 specimens. they were negative, and then they were reacted by the cover line on August 26, 2016, and on September 23, 2016, you submitted one specimen for testing that was negative and as directed by that officer. So according to this, there's no positives, which is a good thing. Do you, were you using drugs or drinking while you were scouting, sir?
Negative, sir. I was more into being a family man and taking care of the family that I'm currently with now and working.
Okay. So I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have questions at this time. No questions? Okay, at this time, I'm going to turn this over to your supporters. Whichever one would like to come up first, or you can come up together.
Good morning. My name is Zadie Pelopax, and I'm currently his fiance since October 2016. Am I allowed to make a clarification? I don't think he understood your question when you asked him if he was absconded from October 2016. I think he's confused. I think he's talking about, he thinks you're referring us to before that. So, clarification, he did move out of his sister's house and he was living with me. However, I didn't find out about this until the Sunday before he turned himself in. I did send over a letter. Do you guys want me to read it, or have you guys had the privilege of reading it? Okay, then I won't waste any more of your time. I just want to make a statement and say that the entire time Jose was with me since October 2016, we've been in a relationship since September 2016, talking off and on. We officially got in a relationship in, on October. He came to live with me at my apartment at 5601 South Platte Avenue then. Now we reside over on Aragon at 4349 West Aragon, and we've been there since last October of 2017. The entire time that Jose was, I guess, on the run and absconded, I didn't know about it. I found out from an outside source. His sister and I do not get along, and she just blurted out during that argument on that Sunday, which caused an altercation between Jose and I, an argument, and he finally told me the truth of what had happened. So I pretty much gave him an ultimatum and told him he had to turn himself in and get this taken care of. As you can see from the file that I turned in, I am pregnant, have a high-risk pregnancy. I need him to be there. I need him to get this over with. I know he owes maybe 4 months of parole. I would like for him to be reinstated so that he's able to be a participant and learn of what my deficiency is so that he knows how to care for our child. And the entire time that he was released, he was a good father. I provided some photos to you guys, the parole board, and I faxed them over. I don't know if those printed out in color or not, so you can be able to see, but if you allow me, I will present them to you.
If you present them, then we can't give them back to you. So.
Okay, that's fine. I have
them. Okay, then they'll be a part of the record.
Okay, read a piece.
Okay, thank you.
And I printed them out in color for you guys. I have the originals. He was doing well. He had limited his circle of his surroundings, including from his immediate family, sisters, anyone that was of negative influence to him. He did not associate. He had very few friends. More interaction with my friends, as you can see from the letters that I provided. I myself keep my circle small, so he was part of that circle. You know, family man, going to ball games with my daughter, very involved in soccer school activities. He's well known at the girls' school. He's a well-rounded community man. You know, none of us would have ever suspected, I never did, that he was absconded from the law. What I thought is he was released. I didn't know he was priorly incarcerated, that he was released in August, and that was the end of the story. I didn't ask about his past life because it had nothing to do with me. We were just moving on to the future. And since I met him, he's been good to us, been good to me, my kids, my family. He's working. He was the only working one in the house. Since I became pregnant, I was unable to drive my school bus, so I had to leave my work, and he was the only provider to the house. since March of this year. He's been the only one working, so he was being paid cash, I do know that, and he was doing a lot of side work, whether it be with my brother-in-law or with the gentleman, Saul, from Casa Marble Car Wash, or he even got his own pressure washer. He was washing cars on the weekend on his own and getting paid cash. Now I know why. He was working for cash and didn't want to go apply a regular job. But all in all, I think he does deserve a second chance because he has proven that he can incorporate himself into the community. I took it upon myself, now that I found out that he was absconded from the law, to print out his entire criminal file myself. I read it all. Now I know he has a pretty large criminal history, and that he also has a history of drug use. I cannot give you my word that he was not using drugs. That is strictly forbidden at my house. He was not using drugs while he was living with me since 2016. And he was not drinking any alcohol. I can tell you that. Very strict individual in the household. My kids call me the lawyer. It's not for nothing. They always make fun of me. But he was doing good. I just hope that he's able to reincorporate himself into the community, into our lives, and being able to provide for his family, which is now that I need him the most, to be there for us. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Thank you.
I'm still looking to be here better.
Hi, my name is Maria. My father was saying was the last one. He comes to me, he comes with us and takes care of us. And he loves us. I miss him Papa very much. I want him to come home and take care of us. He has a wonderful job at home, and he comes and supports us, and he joins us too. He goes to church with me and he's playing ball. That's all. And I want to know.
Thank you.
My other daughter also wrote a letter, and she's too shy. She'll turn red as a tomato. So if I'm allowed, may I read it for her?
Okay. Yes, you may.
And her name is Natalia Palafox. Jose is like my dad because I don't know my real father. But since Jose has been in our family, I feel like I have a dad now. He's cool. He helps me with my schoolwork and chores too. When I'm sad or mad, he tries to cheer me up, but he's not that funny, LOL. Jose is not a bad person. I don't think so. I don't think he should be in prison because he's so nice. I just hope and pray that he gets to come home soon so we can be a family again. Our home is sad without him. Well, my mom, my little sister, and me, Natalia, and even our dog, Baloo. Please, come home soon. Love, Natalia. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So, sir, we're nearly the end of your hearing at this time. We'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Will you hang on just a minute? Mr. West, we have some information.
Yes, I didn't see this in the warrant, and I just wanted to give this additional information to the board. On the criminal notes for his parole officer, I just wanted to state that before Mr. Estrada changed his residence, he had a scheduled, he was on monthly supervision, and he did have a scheduled next report date of October 6, 2016, which was 3 days after he absconded from supervision. So he did, that was the other thing that wasn't mentioned, was that he failed to report to his PO on the scheduled contact date right after he absconded.
Thank you, sir.
Just,
yes, sir. Mr.
Just one follow-up question for our community corrections officer. Mr. Westby, maybe I didn't write it down, but did you say what the status of that last charge was on his deal?
I had no status of charges from the parole officer, so I do not know if charges are pending or if they were not filed.
Thank you.
I've done some research on it.
Okay, well, we have to have the information from the system rather than, you know, the witnesses and stuff like that, okay?
No, I printed out the police report.
But that's the information from allegation number one is...
It's from number one.
Well, we can't take that at all. That's off limits for the board because he pleaded the fifth.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Rashad, when you're in the end of your hearing here, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. If there's anything else you'd like the board to know, now's the time for you to tell us. We ask that you don't repeat information that's already been given to us, okay?
Yes, sir. I obviously do have something to say. I wrote something for the parole board. I would like to hear if that's okay.
Okay.
Parole board, I'm here today to ask you for another chance. Yes, I understand that I have violated my parole. The reason why I am asking the parole board for another chance is because my fiance is pregnant and I would love to be there with her. It is really important for me to be there at that, excuse me, and it's really important for me to be there. That is one of the reasons why I turned myself in to the parole board in Tucson. I just want to put all this behind me and move on with my new family. As you can see, and as you heard, I have two beautiful little girls and a beautiful wife that is carrying our baby boy and our baby girl. Things that I need to learn so I don't hurt our child, things that I need to be there for. It is really important for me to be there, not just for our newborn child, but for my two little girls that I got now. The relationship that I have built with them is something like no other. It is really beautiful, and it's something I do not want to lose. So with this letter, I ask you guys, I ask the parole board to be lenient and to give me a second chance. I just want to put all this behind me and move on with my new family. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The board will be going into the discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves, making a determination. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. But we ask that you stay on the phone and listen to the conversation and hear what the decision is. But when we're done making the decision, I'll get back to you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. The board is going to discussion. This is definitely an unfortunate situation here. I think, unfortunately, the length of time that Mr. Estrada was absconding can amplify a lot of problems rather than solving the problem. And it was honest with his young lady when he took him in and he was pregnant with his child. And one wonders how long it would have been if he would have been caught by somebody else, if he would have ever turned himself in without having had that one problem. But with everyone involved, I don't think Mr. Westphal is a good candidate for return to the committee supervision at this time. I mean, it's a long and astounding time. The issues with following the rules even before that or right up to that and things. So I really can't justify returning Mr. Estrada to police supervision at this time, but I'm going to listen to discussion from him and my fellow board members.
I agree.
All right. So based on all the information in warrant number 2016, W3416, information from Mr. Estrada, his supporters, and the Department of Corrections. I believe we want to see supervision of Mr. Estrada as being delinquent, violating terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapses without lapses in the criminal ways or company. Very specifically, an extremely long scouting time where we have no real way of checking what he was doing or he was using drugs or alcohol, you know, last time he was on the lease, he was arrested for drug charges, so it would be scout time. That was my motion.
Second.
Great.
Agreed. Okay. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Johnson, moved by Mr. Wittenhoff, and Mr. Bob.
Great.
So Mr. Estrada, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. According to the information we have, you should be released on or about September 19th of this year. It really isn't all that long. It's a lot less time than you were missing from the systems. And then it'll be done. You won't have to report to the Department of Corrections unless you have some of the probation or something we don't know about. And if you don't, then you can live where you want and not have to worry about getting pre-approval. And you'll be done. And hopefully this whole situation and your new family will turn you around so that you won't continue to repeatedly offend. Okay? You understand?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir. And this will end your hearing. If you put the CO3 back on the phone, please.
Yeah.